Josh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump will address congressional Republicans today at their leadership retreat in Florida. Over the weekend, he threatened 25% tariffs on all imports from Colombia after that country's government refused to allow U.S. military deportation planes.
In a statement, the Colombian government says that it has overcome an impasse with the United States, saying that they plan to send representatives to Washington, D.C. to meet with the Trump administration. But the White House press secretary says if Colombia violates any terms of this agreement, those tariffs are back on.
That's ABC's Rachel Scott. Rain in Southern California is reducing the fire threat, but increasing the risk of mudslides in burn-scarred areas. Wall Street gearing up for early losses. Future markets lower after news of a Chinese company's AI model that could encroach on market drivers like NVIDIA. And some of the living survivors expected at the Auschwitz site today, marking 80 years since the Nazi death camp was liberated. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM. For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Things in Winnebago County got a little tense around 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon when sirens from the Winnebago County Emergency Management System were activated. These sirens weren't the normal tornado sirens. They were attack sirens that Winnebago County Emergency Management said, quote, "This is not a function of our system that we would use." Emergency management said other warnings would be used in case of an attack and not those sirens. They added that the siren vendor determined the problem and told them how to avoid it happening in the future. While salt can help to keep our roads safe in the winter, using too much of it can cause problems in our water supply. Melissa Kay has more.
January 27th through the 31st is Winter Salt Week.
It's a week where people from across the country raise awareness around both the problems of salt pollution in our lakes, streams, and drinking water, as well as a number of the salt reduction solutions that are out there.
That's Allison Madison, program manager with Wisconsin Saltwise. She said part of the education during Salt Week is helping those who deal with our roads understand the best ways to utilize salt.
First, really tackling snow and ice with mechanical tools. So getting out there and plowing as much snow as possible so that there's a lot less material left behind to potentially salt.
Madison said many municipalities are treating roads with salt brine before winter storms. She said that works like cooking spray, preventing the bond between the snow and the pavement, making it easier to remove. Because the salt is diluted, municipalities are able to reduce the overall amount of salt they use in a season.
I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
The Bucks are in Utah. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks road trip continues tonight against the Jazz in Salt Lake City, Utah. The Bucks losing to the Clippers in L.A. over the weekend. 127-117. Bobby Portis was not there. He was out for personal reasons, a family matter. Portis has missed only one other game this season, back in November due to an elbow injury. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team with a win over Nebraska, 83-55. Badgers guard Kamari McGee on the Cornhuskers coming back after being down 19-2.
Game of basketball is it's a game of runs. So we know like teams are going to throw a punch back. No team is just going to get hit and just sit there and take the punch. So we knew that they were going to respond to how we came out talking like it's okay, like just weather that storm. Got to keep moving forward. And we did.
Hockey, the Wisconsin men's team with a good performance against number 10th ranked Michigan in a 2-game series. The Badgers winning the first one 5-4. Game two ended in a 4-4 tie in overtime. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Thickening clouds, couple of flurries, or maybe a sprinkle this afternoon, and highs in the upper 30s. Partly cloudy and low in the low 20s tonight, and partly sunny, warmer, and low 40s tomorrow, but breezy. Mild for the rest of the week, 30s and 40s for highs, dry and partly cloudy. Currently 21 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
The dismantling of diversity, equity, and inclusion under Donald Trump has already begun. On the next show, we'll talk with Dr. Eva Martinez-Paulus about what DEI really is.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number 3 of Mino and the Mayor here, 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh. Special thanks to Bill Morgan joining us this morning to talk about the Green Bay Blue Ribbons. Anders Lindwall, director of the Green and Gold movie, making its national debut on the 31st. And now, very honored to be joined by a longtime compadre of mine. We worked together back in Flint, Michigan, and she was like broadcast royalty back in the day, and I think still is. JoJo Shuddy McGregor is the name. As they say, you can Google her. JoJo, good morning. How are you?
John, I've been waiting for this moment to be with you. On the radio.
Okay.
We've been together on TV. And, of course, it wasn't just Flint. Remember, it was Flint, Saginaw, Bay City, and Midland. So we covered mid-Michigan pretty darn well. And I was just really excited to be working with you because even then you had your tendencies to be so involved with veterans. And, of course, I can't tell you how much I've been reading up on you. And I'm just so proud. I'm going to start off with a couple of disclaimers, the first one being I'm so proud to know you and all of the work that you've done for the veterans and how you've helped them. And I can't tell you more than that because my dad was in World War II and the Army, and my mom was a Rosie the Riveter. So I've got some deep, deep bonds for our veterans. And I love America.
And
I love you. And now I'm getting to know your partner, right?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. That was really funny, I have to be honest with you. I was out there getting a cup of coffee, and I heard Todd say, well, if you call him Mr. Mayor, they'll make him very happy.
No, Jim's fine.
It sounds like a good thing to do, but I give you your honors, and for you being one of the longest mayors there in Green Bay, I'm proud to know you as well, Mr. Mayor Jim.
All right, there we go.
Well, JoJo, the way this all got started is one of our guys, one of our marketing directors, says, you're not going to believe this. You got to hear the voicemail I got from these guys in Finland. And we're talking Todd here, and it's a young guy, the other guy, but Todd, who's a veteran of radio and knows everything about how all this stuff works, which I'm still figuring out after 100 years, but he explained how AM signals can go around the world, basically, and these guys in Finland were listening on AM. And we got to talking. I said, well, one of the biggest AM stations ever was across the river from Detroit in Windsor. And I go, oh, my gosh, and the disc jockey was one of the most famous. Well, he was the most famous in Canada, but also in North America, was a good friend of mine's husband. His name was Byron McGregor. And I explained that he had a number one hit on the radio with a record which involved no singing. JoJo, can you take it from there and talk about that number one hit that your husband put out?
Oh, my goodness. Where do we begin? I certainly can't even talk about my career in broadcasting.
Oh, no, we're getting to that. We're getting to that.
No, but I say that I can't without mentioning him, because he was the one who got me in the air and on the air. My first on-air job, I never dreamt was going to be in a helicopter in the air. So we'll start at that point.
Hang on one second, Jojo. Let me just say this. Jojo here was the very first helicopter weather female in North America. She went up in this tiny little helicopter. It looked like one of those ones in MASH when they bring in the wounded troops. And you were flying all over Metro Detroit, the very first one female to ever do this. Got to ask you, Jojo, a few nervous moments when you'd go up in that thing, or no?
No, you know, okay. I, it was an opportunity. I was already in television, but I was behind the scenes at WWJ-TV at the time. It was radio, television, and the Detroit News. And that was a huge station in Detroit, but I was right out of Michigan State. And I was young and eager to do just about anything on the air, behind the scenes, in front, or whatever. And so I was the promotion director. And everybody ahead of me was probably already into their 60s or 70s. So that's where, it's not like I just got started on CKLW, but I did have a life before that. I was pretty much one of those kids that got started in the performing arts when I was young. And I know we're going to go back and cover Byron and all of that. But see, he ties in with part of this because, first of all, I was on the radio and TV when I was a youngster. I was in baton twirling competition along with my sister. I have an older sister, Sharon. And so the two of us would be on a TV show, much like the Mickey Mouse Club, but it wasn't a contest. It was called the Auntie Dee Show in Detroit. We were regulars. We were baton twirlers, and we were in competition. I won my world championship in baton twirling when I was a youngster. And then I started twirling at Michigan State at halftime as kids on the 50-yard line and at the Detroit Lions games. And let me just tell you that I really, really wish, John, that my Detroit Lions were headed for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so
that's
do we.
Another disclaimer, and that I've been a Michigan State Spartan all my life because of ties to Duffy Doherty, the great head football coach, especially in the 50s, 60s, and into the 70s. So now we go back. I'm at WWJ Channel 4 in Detroit, and I get a call from just an agent in Detroit that said they're looking for someone to do traffic from a helicopter at CKLW radio. And I'm thinking, okay, I heard radio and I heard on the air. I heard the helicopter, but I was thinking, oh, a traffic copter. Oh, right. So I decide to go over for the interview. And, of course, I call my sister, who was not working at the time. And I said, hey, Sharon, you have to go over and be interviewed as well. And I've got some work to do here at Channel 4, and hopefully I'll get over there. And she said, okay, Mom, Dad, and I are saying that you have to go over, too. So I was the last of 57 women to be interviewed. My sister was right before me, and Byron was doing the interview. Now, I did not know Byron McGregor personally. The only thing I knew at the time was that he had done The Americans, the spoken word record, at the tail end of 1973, and it hit the top of the charts in 1974. So I didn't bring that up, but the first thing he said to me is, Jojo, what's your real name? And I should have asked him what his real name was, because Byron McGregor was an on-air name that he was asked to take because there was already another guy in the air with his legal name. So I said, well, you know what, Byron, my dad had two daughters. I was the second of two daughters, and instead of being the boy, Joe Jr., I became Jojo with a hyphen, J-O hyphen J-O. So that's my legal name. Everyone asks me that. And I said, no, that's what I came into the world as, and that's how I remain to this day. So we get done with the interviews. I leave, Sharon leaves, and I say to her, hey, that was a good interview. I hope you get the job. I'm still working, but hopefully I'll see him again, meaning Byron. Little did I know, right? So I got the job, and It was a flurry from the beginning, and there was a lot of publicity from day one. Nobody else in the Motor City was doing traffic, and especially from a helicopter, and especially a female. Now, Byron decided he wanted to go with a female voice because he had a 22-man news department at the time at CKLW Radio, a top 40 rock and roll station, had a 22-man news department. And he decided he was going to go with me or with a female voice. And people always ask that is another question, because right. Why did he go that route? And the days were interesting, to say the least. In terms of, I'll get back to the signal.
Can I just ask you?
Hang on one second, Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to ask you in the interview. Do you remember the interview? Did they ask you about helicopters? Because that's like wasn't the biggest thing back
then. I know. It's so experimental.
And I think even now, less, because there's more helicopters, there's more crashes. Yeah. But did they talk about that part of your job, or was it more your personality and the fact that you knew weather?
Being from Metro Detroit helped out, and I will say that as a person who ended up flying, because there were markers on the ground that we weren't far enough off the ground to begin with. Let's just start with that. If I'd have been in a fixed wing as opposed to a helicopter, you don't get to see the street signs on the freeways, and you don't get to see the Detroit Zoo, and you don't get to see the landmarks around the city. So I was big on that. And no, I did not ask questions about the helicopter. But guess what? Daddy Joe Shuddy said to me shortly after I was contemplating it, he said, "So is there any insurance?"
That's what I'd say. That's cool.
Oh. I kind of looked at him. Yeah. Well, as it turns out, you know, I became what would be like a pilot. What kind of insurance, right? No, there was no talk of that. Isn't that strange? I guess that'll be the strangest thing in my skeletons in the closet that I wasn't knowledgeable. I was a college grad in broadcast and telecommunications, and I don't ask what I'm going to be flying around in. But I have to tell you that my pilots, and this is what happened, there was no way they were going to hire somebody that was going to fly the helicopter, the chopper, and also try to report, because I not only was reporting for CKLW AM, the top 40 rock and roll station, talking to the disc jockeys in between reports and all of that, but I also had to do reports on CKLW FM, and that was a country music station. So in between report, I'd go back and forth between top 40 rock and roll, listening to the music and dancing in the helicopter, basically with my feet, and then I'd go over to FM 94 country and listen to all the great country music. So it was unusual to start with. All my pilots, John, you'll love this, they were in one way or another involved with the Vietnam War and were pilots.
Well, I believe
and
it.
Yeah. So did I feel safe? I felt that they knew what they were doing when they came to pick me up in the helicopter.
Okay, JoJo,
and
we're going to
trusted them.
We're going to be sent into a break, but we're going to play some of The American right here from your husband, Byron.
Sounds good.
Here we go. And stay tuned through the break. Thank you, JoJo. Hang on.
The United States dollar took another pounding on German, French, and British exchanges this morning, hitting the lowest point ever known in West Germany. It has declined there by 41% since 1971, and this Canadian thinks it's time to speak up for the Americans as the most generous and possibly the least appreciated people in all the world. As long as 60 years ago, when I first started to read newspapers, I read of floods on the Yellow River and the Yangtze. Well, who rushed in with men and money to help? The Americans did, that's who. They have helped control floods on the Nile, the Amazon, the Ganges, and the Niger. Today, the rich bottom land of the Mississippi is underwater, and no foreign land has sent a dollar to help.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eyes iSurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iSurvey gets GA going slower.
iSurvey or Avacin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iSurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iSurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iSurvey today.
iSurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZervay.com. That's iZervay.com.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be a little tricky. So here at WISS, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WISS.FM and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you've got an event to share, hit us up. Email info at WISS.FM. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
Have home to spend up here. When the Americans get out of this bind, as they will, who could blame them if they said to hell with the rest of the world? Let somebody else buy the bonds. Let somebody else build or repair foreign dams or design foreign buildings that won't shake apart in earthquakes. When the railways of France and Germany and India were breaking down through age, it was the Americans who rebuilt them. When the Pennsylvania Railroad and the New York Central went broke, nobody loaned them an old caboose. Both of them are still broke. I can name to you 5,000 times when the Americans raced to the help of other people in trouble. Can you name to me even one time when someone else raced to the Americans in trouble? I don't think there was outside help even during the San Francisco earthquake. Our neighbors have faced it alone, and I'm one Canadian who is damn tired of hearing them kicked around. They'll come out of this thing with their flag high, and when they do, they're entitled to thumb their noses at the lands that are gloating over their present troubles. I hope Canada is not one of these. But there are many smug, self-righteous Canadians. And finally, the American Red Cross was told at its 48th annual meeting in New Orleans this morning that it was broke. This year's disasters, with the year less than half over, has taken it all, and nobody, but nobody, has helped.
CKLW.
It's 1973 all over again.
I was going to say that. That could have a resurgence.
Yeah. JoJo, were you married to him when he did that?
No way.
Okay.
There's two things. Remind me to tell you about the signal. Because if he hadn't read that, what was an editorial in the Toronto Star that was written by Gordon Sinclair, kind of a curmudgeonly 70, 80, 90-year-old. So some of the words you hear, Byron was about 21 or 22 at the time.
Oh.
He was the youngest news director to be hired at CKLW at 19. He was born and raised in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. He was heading east because his dad was also in the business in Calgary on the air as a radio morning show host. It runs very deep in our family, two families, I should say, both mine and Byron's. My sister's in broadcasting, has been all her career, and Byron's younger brother and his dad. So out of all the kids, four out of the five of us have been in broadcasting.
And he is in the national or world, whatever you want to call it, Radio Hall of Fame, right?
He just got inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame posthumously in Nashville as a legend in broadcasting. So his legend will live on. The legend of CKLW is the fact that it could be heard throughout not just southeastern Michigan and much of Ohio and beyond and off to the west. And yes, the signal was so powerful that it was interfering with Mexican AM radio stations. And the Canadian station ended up being able to be heard in 28 states in six Canadian provinces. So that's how it blasted into everyone's life, I'd say, at that point. And it became the soundtrack of their lives. And in Detroit and in the Detroit market, which was huge, he along with CKLW, brought it to the top of the charts at about a point that AM radio was having a little bit of a heyday and then did resume its power because the baby boomers were on board now and they were listening to radio and they were transistor radios in their pockets, but they could pick them up. If they were studying in Bowling Green, Ohio, at Bowling Green University in Ohio, or if they were anywhere else. So when he read the Americans, they were just words in the newspaper. He had set it in his desk drawer at the station. He believed in it strongly. He already had his, he eventually became a U.S. citizen. I must say that because throughout the record, he talks about being a Canadian. That's damn proud. But Byron became a U.S. citizen in 1983. I started at CKLW in 1974, late 1974. He had the record late 1973. So it was just at the end of that next year that he was, you know, he was all over the world and all over the country in terms of doing the record. And it hit the top of the charts, one of the few spoken word records that would sell 3.5 million copies. We mustn't forget that Byron donated all of the proceeds, more than 3.5 million copies, brought in over $150,000 just in the first, I'd say, 6 to 9 months is quite the record. And it continues to this day to help out the American Red Cross, because at the time that this song came out, spoken word record, the American Red Cross was broke. We know what's going on out in California. Yes, they always need help. And so Byron was able to do that, and I'm continuing to do that in my own way. And back to the station's power, that's the other reason why the traffic reports were so important. Detroit, of course, known as the Motor City with all the big three there, but we had the second largest freeway system, second only to L.A., and we had no mass transit. So me in a helicopter was what everybody just couldn't get enough of in terms of the reports. They waited day and night, morning and afternoon drive. I was flying for about 7 hours, 4 hours in the morning for morning drive and 3 in the afternoon, and in between doing public appearances and landing at, you know, Goodyear Tire or Bell Tire, things that related. It was a very expensive operation for CKLW to send up their own chopper. I know these days some stations still have, you know, two or three stations that they feed reports to. But no, I became known as the voice of traffic. So my name's kind of synonymous with traffic when you talk about me. You know, Angel of the Airwaves.
Oh,
it's a bird,
cool
it's a
title.
Plane, it's JoJo.
Wow.
JoJo in the sky with rotor blades. I mean, that just tells you what people thought of me. And all good. A good skeleton in my closet,
yeah,
as we say, right?
So what are you doing? We're running out of time. What are you doing now? Do you sound like, are you teaching? You have a lot of...
You just don't have any enthusiasm.
Kind of what I'm saying.
Well, believe it or not.
How can you get her out of her shell, John?
Believe it or not, I'd love to be coaching. I mean, I could be doing podcasts and everything else, but you know what I told Big Sister during the shutdown? I'm not even going to call it what everybody has their own opinions of, whether there was COVID, whether it was a shutdown, whatever it was that kept us away from each other. But I happened to get stuck, and I say that fondly, at my sister's house in Chicago. And I live in Metro Detroit. Sharon's in Metro Chicago. And she was at a TV station here for 33 years. But I said to her at that point, you know, Sharon, I can't go back home. I don't have 5,000 rolls of toilet paper stashed in my basement. I'll stay with you. And I said, I really think we need to stop down and get a life.
JoJo, I'm so sorry. We're coming. We're out of time.
You back.
You
this
are
is great.
Awesome.
That's okay.
All right. You're the best, JoJo Shuddy McGregor. Thank you.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Wisconsin employment numbers hit new record highs to close out 2024. According to the Department of Workforce Development, the state ended the year with over 3,075,000 people working, an increase of about 32,000 over the December 2023 numbers. Unemployment numbers saw a slight increase from 2.9% in November to 3%, still well below the national average of 4.1%. In total, the state had a labor force participation rate of nearly 66%, higher than the national average of 62.5%. In honor of National Radon Action Month, which is this January, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services is encouraging homeowners and schools to test their properties for radon. Radon is one of the leading causes of lung cancer in non-smokers and is a naturally occurring colorless and odorless gas. Health officials estimate 1 in 10 homes in the state have radon levels above EPA standards. DHS officials are also reminding residents that their local Radon Information Center may be offering reduced-cost test kits throughout this month. Last week, Jason Lindeman, an Oshkosh man convicted in a boat crash on the Fox River, was ordered to pay a total of almost $12,000 to multiple victims. Lindeman was sentenced to 5 months in jail and 3 years probation for the 14 counts of second-degree recklessly endangering safety, failure to render aid after a boating accident resulting in injury, and negligent operation of a boat for an incident in July of 2022 when his powerboat crashed into a paddle-wheel cruise boat with 44 people on board. Lindeman still faces a civil suit from the owners of the paddlewheel boat. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Really good actors are supposed to be fearless. Leonardo DiCaprio is typically one of them. That was not the case, though, on the set of Django Unchained. During a recent interview with Vanity Fair, Jamie Foxx recalled DiCaprio, who played a ruthless slave owner, had trouble saying words that were racial slurs, even though he was in character. According to Foxx, Samuel Jackson put DiCaprio at ease, saying, like only Samuel Jackson can, "You can say that, mother." DiCaprio got the point. If you've got $150 million burning a hole in your pocket, consider purchasing Tom Brady's house. The amazing quarterback and mediocre commentator is selling his mansion in Miami. Don't worry, renovations are done, and they must have been doozies because he purchased the home in 2024 for 17 million smackers. Not many people pocket 133 mil on a sale. Anyone interested in pretending to be filthy rich and taking a tour? I'm in. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Thickening clouds, couple of flurries, or maybe a sprinkle this afternoon, and highs in the upper 30s. Partly cloudy and a low in the low 20s tonight, and partly sunny, warmer, and low 40s tomorrow, but breezy. Mild for the rest of the week, 30s and 40s for highs, dry and partly cloudy.
Currently 21 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
It is the weekend. That means coming up on the show, we'll break down all the news that you might have missed and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. this part of the show or want to share it with a friend, check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Todd, you've put together the greatest lineup
in
radio history. Bill Morgan, Green Bay Blue Ribbons, Anders Lindwald, who was phenomenal, director of the Green and Gold movie, JoJo Shuddy McGregor, legendary broadcaster, his husband did that number one hit that we played. I just wish I could have gotten her out of her shell. Yeah,
boy, you know what's great is that I stayed on the phone with her after you guys were done with her, and I was on for like another 10 minutes.
and she's on hold, and she's still on hold.
Yeah, she's still talking.
She's still talking.
She was great. Wow. We'll get her back again for part two. Colleen Rourkebeck, I always mispronounce your name, Colleen, and I just want to apologize right off the bat.
You got it perfectly.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Elton Public Library, you guys have been working to put together a spectacular library, and the finish line is there, correct?
Absolutely.
Congratulations.
Yes, we're very excited. February 15th is our grand opening day, Saturday, February 15th.
I'm anxious to see it. I've heard that the architecture is spectacular.
It is. It's quite gorgeous. The building is amazing. You can't believe it's the same structure.
Beautiful.
That's great for other communities to see what you can do with an existing property, right? And you...
Yes. Yeah. We want to be a model. I mean, sustainability, the most sustainable thing you can do is reuse a structure like this. So Bolt was amazing. They kept track of everything they recycled and the amount of tons of metals that were recycled. So we're really proud of that.
And the community, I wanted to talk a little bit about... I mean, the library is going to be great. Probably the best one in Outagamie, if not, you know, Northeast Wisconsin. But I want to talk a little bit about how you did that. Other people have talked about, let's renovate the library. And that's not an easy thing, but you've got some private money. What, 30% private money or 25?
The project was $40.4 million, and the fundraising goal was $12
million. Okay, yeah. 12 to 25.
Yeah. So there was private?
Oh, quite a bit of private funding.
That's
Yeah. So, and we're at 11.9. So we're very close.
Talk to John after.
Yeah.
Jeez, come on.
Yeah, I can write that one.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Yeah. So what's the biggest thing, the biggest change people are going to see? Because I thought it was really interesting. I said that to you out in the lobby this morning, too, how when you came in and we're going to be closing the library for this renovation, do you have your library plan in place? And I'm like, that's pretty cool to think that far ahead. But obviously people decide they're going to go to this library. They're going to check out this many books. What's the biggest thing they're going to notice when they come back into your new place?
I think the biggest thing they'll notice is it's just a completely different vibe. When you walk in, it's a really inspirational space. The ceiling heights are a good 3.5-4 feet higher because we got the drop ceilings out of there, and you've got that kind of cool industrial ceiling look. But also, it's a place that you kind of want to wander around and discover.
That's important. That's a great point.
Yeah. I think that light, I mean, compared to the old library, for anybody that remembers the old library, it was kind of a bunker of a space. And so this library has a lot of natural light, even all the way down into the lowest level where the kids area is. I think it's got an amazing balance of energy, but also kind of warmth and comforting spaces.
You know, people can buy a book offline. They can do whatever. There's something special about the going to a library, especially when it's a welcoming place like that. And especially when you bring kids, it's like it kind of adds on to the enjoyment of reading books and that excitement about finding that book that you really like on that shelf and you can take it and the whole thing. I mean, I go way back to when I was a little kid. My brother would take me to the library and it was like 5 and I'd get books on fire trucks or whatever. And I never lost that passion because it was a great experience from the start.
I think we should talk about the vibe. I mean, everybody there is kind of doing the same thing, yet everybody's doing something different.
But right.
I mean, be like walking into a big place and everybody's cooking. I mean, you're just going to be part of it and you feel very comfortable in what you're doing. I think that I hear what you're saying. That's really important. It's like, why would you want to go to the library? Well, I can't put my finger on it, but you want to go there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you get, like, especially for kids, like, this is probably the first place you're told, like, you can pick out anything you want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the only negative, though, and I'm sure you guys didn't contact me before you went through with this, and not going to criticize or anything like that, but I'll bet you don't have my favorite thing that I used to look forward to when I'd go to the library when I was a kid. Those slides on that big thing. Do you remember that? from pictures from like Africa and the pyramids,
oh,
and, the whole, and then have those viewfinder things.
That's what it was, viewfinder.
Yeah. I really had no idea where you were going with that.
Yeah.
Neither did the rest of us. Don't feel bad.
You still have those viewfinder
things?
We do
not.
Happens every day.
Oh, no.
Do you have any at the old place that I could have? I'd love to have one of those.
We are not a museum.
There you go. There you go.
Weren't those cool, though? You can't tell me you didn't spend hours looking at those things.
The viewfinders were awesome.
Oh, they
were. Yes.
And it's amazing for that.
You know, there's new technology, though, right, that plugs in. It's
called video.
It's called the internet.
You know what? Those things work fine. They work fine. Didn't need to be fixed.
Right.
Just saying.
But the brightness of that was, those were unbelievable pictures.
They were awesome.
They really were. Anyway, so day after Valentine's Day, the 15th, you open ribbon cutting or what's the deal?
So we're going to be open like a regular day for us. So 9 to 5 for a Saturday. And then we'll have a ribbon cutting ceremony, kind of program at 11 o'clock.
Right.
But otherwise, we'll have different kind of things going on throughout the building. The specific schedule or plans outside of knowing we've got our 11 o'clock event.
Awesome.
Is still kind of being finalized right now. Yeah.
And tell me, libraries, newspapers, checking out books, but you must have rooms or meeting places for people to go to.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit more about the non-traditional library.
Yeah. So the library itself has a lot of different kind of zones, like different spaces throughout the building that have a different kind of aesthetic. So if you want to be in the really active, lively space,
right,
there's places for you. If you want a little bit more of a quiet place to read, there's places for you. But then there is specific rooms. We have study rooms that actually have increased soundproofing. So a library is a much more vibrant, lively space than it used to be. So we've
I've
got
noticed
some spaces
that
where
people
you can
don't
get away
whisper
from that.
It. People don't really whisper anymore, do they?
No, right, they right. don't.
Whatever happened to that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I go back to
when was the last time you whispered?
I whisper a lot. I whisper a lot. I whisper. Do you have? I'm sure technology wise has improved this, but one of my favorite things when I was writing some of my books, I'd go back into history, the mimeograph, or not the mimeograph, the microfilm at the Brown County Library, and I would just get enthralled in reading old newspapers and everything. Do you guys still have access to that?
We still have that.
That is so cool.
Yes, we have the Post Crescent back to its origins. Appleton used to have a German language newspaper. We have that. So absolutely. And people, a lot of our most popular programs are genealogy programs.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of family history researchers
use
those
fun
resources. Absolutely.
My son learned so much from going to those classes here.
Yeah.
He's huge into that. But that's a great thing. But I still say libraries are a very important part of youngsters, especially to develop that love of reading.
Absolutely.
And not only that, but you entice them quite early with, you must have story time and...
Oh, from birth. Yeah. We have,
I know.
We have story times for newborns.
Yeah.
And we are the place where a lot of parents learn. They're their child's first teacher. Before they get to school, you're at the library, you're interacting with other new parents, you're learning developmental skills in a sneaky way through story time.
Exactly.
And so that's a really important part of what we do.
Okay, my favorite time of the year is the used book sale.
Oh,
are you guys having one of those?
We're going to have those back again. Yeah,
right.
We've had them a couple times a year.
I bought 3 of my own books that I wrote at the used book sale. I thought, hey, a bargain's a bargain.
Right?
Did you really sell that or something, Joe?
Hey, that's a bargain.
Did you read the dedication? You're like, who donated this book back?
Maybe.
All right, so you have $12.5 million of private money, and I think I can see why people gave to you. You're educating people. Every good community has a good library. I mean, would you agree? Even Two Rivers, some of these smaller places.
Oh, absolutely. The best libraries really are geared around their community's needs, and so it's not about like how big your community is, how small it is. There, you can see some of the most creative things in small libraries because they can kind of pivot and do things in a more nimble way.
True.
So it's every community. I would say that the communities that are really showing that they care about themselves and care about their community members, you know, look at their libraries and you'll often see some really innovative things happening there.
I couldn't agree more.
I totally agree. Totally agree. And it's had to change over the years. I mean, we were joking a little bit about, you know, with the whispering. I remember, you know, probably every woman there. Well, they all looked like they're between 75 and 80.
I was going to ask
they're
about
probably 52
that's
at the time. that have the little thing that have the little thing in their hair, and they'd always have their glasses on the little chains that would hang down.
Yeah, that's not.
But didn't we all grow up with those ladies?
Yes,
that is really funny though. After he said that, I'm just thinking of, as we're talking here, that whispering.
Yeah,
that was and nobody questioned it.
No.
Like, oh, yeah, sorry. I forgot.
Yeah. It's not quite like that as much.
Anyway, with these new books, are you getting some flack? You can't have this book. You can have this book. When are you on a committee?
So in terms of materials challenges and intellectual freedom challenges in Appleton, we haven't experienced a lot of that.
Right.
I think we're pretty proactive. We work with staff, so they know that. In those interactions with people who are expressing concerns, it's really important to validate that they're the expert in their values and that it's not about us telling them about what book they should read. We're here to help match their interests and their if they have a value stream, to help them identify books that they're interested in or that they want their children to read. So we're not here to serve in lieu of parents or any of that. Mm-hmm. That's not our job at all.
Did you ever get turned down from trying to check out a book? I did one time when I was in high school.
I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, I didn't either. True story. We had to do a book report, so I wanted to check out a book called North Dallas 40. It was written by a guy who used to play football for the Dallas Cowboys. Well, it was very risque for its time, but it basically talked about how this is the real way it is in the NFL.
When you were too young.
And I was a junior in high school. I was like 15, and you had to be 16 to check it out. I never knew that was a thing.
Yeah, that's that. And some of the legislation that's coming in some communities has things like that in some states.
Right, right.
In Appleton, I think we've got a community that kind of respects that. We're going to be serving a diverse range of needs, and that maybe something that I find offensive isn't necessarily for me, but that doesn't mean that my opinions or values can keep it from being in our library for other people to access.
So you're a Lawrence grad, right?
I am a Lawrence grad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you offer internships? I mean, those, like I was telling you, kids who go to Lawrence are, I don't know,
they're awesome.
They are. I said the smart, but they're pretty smart kids to get in there. Yeah. I mean, that's a hard school to get into. Do they come and help you out? Do they do these study groups and internships?
So we do have some internships, and actually we have we've been doing them with high school students the past couple of years because we really want to encourage people to consider librarianship as a career or work in a library, and so we've done them with high school students. And so we're working on one right now for a more college age potential internship.
I would love to work in a library.
You should apply for that internship.
Well, I would spend 90% of the time reading books and going through magazines and newspapers.
Same reason
versus helping somebody. I'll be honest.
Same reason he doesn't bartend.
That's a very good point.
That actually
is a very good point.
Good analogy there. I think that's great. We talk about internships. I want to get back to your library, but how important that is for a student to discern. Like, I bet you there's students that don't know what a librarian does because up like Johnny and I with this old lady who's super nice, but you gotta whisper. Yeah. To this whole resource center and
Yeah, and so for example, me, I was I went to Lawrence for music, and I had a job in the media center at the Lawrence Library, and I kind of liked it, but I had never really considered librarianship as a career. So after I graduated, and I was kind of like, just hanging out in Appleton and working at Mongolian Barbecue.
Well, that is a good place.
It was like right across the parking lot from the library.
You could have worse jobs than that.
Right.
That's not bad.
That's a pretty good place. No complaining
there.
That's
not one of those, I have this bad job. No, that's a great
place.
And
a few of us worked at the library, actually. And so I just really liked it.
We got to wrap it up. Colleen Rourke-Bett, Appleton Public Library. Give us again your times and dates.
We will be opening Saturday, February 15th, 9 a.m., with the ceremony at 11 a.m.
All right. Congratulations.
And again, if people just want to come in and kick the tires and look at the architecture, what a great job you guys did designing that. It's worth the trip, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
I can't wait. You guys going to carry my books?
We probably already
have
them.
We got another break. Oh, yeah. You return them on time, people. All right. Thanks very much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Back after us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Good song. Good song.
Yeah.
Trying to find the theme. You always have a theme.
Well, I don't know that there necessarily is one.
Okay.
I was just like, you know, I just want a song that says something.
This is what I want to listen to.
All right.
Right. Yeah, that's it. You are the producer. You can do that.
You can do
so, you know, something there's a lot of fun working here, but getting off site is always fun.
Absolutely. That Wednesday we're going to be doing it at the Heights.
Right. I mean, when we did those things by Lambeau and down in Oshkosh, and of course, that's not really off site. That's another studio. But yeah, big party coming up. And
yep. I love 1 year anniversary, Heights Pub and Parlor.
And it's tough. It is tough to make it in any industry. And that whole, you know, restaurant, bar industry is to celebrate a year is something worth celebrating. And
I'll tell you what, if you haven't been there to eat, I mean, it's a great bar to just stop in and watch ball games or do whatever. I've done that. But their food is really good.
Oh, yeah.
Their food is really, really good.
So today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, they're doing a 3-day celebration. While they're open, it's going to be a happy hour the entire time. Okay.
There you go.
So, and then Wednesday morning, the nice thing is we're going to be there starting at 6 o'clock. And starting at 6 o'clock, they're going to have free mimosas and Bloody Marys, and they'll have some appetizers and stuff like that too. So come on down. You can hang out with Jim and John. We've got a bunch of great guests, including Lisa Malik from Channel 5.
So I can't drink at all.
Why?
Well, because there I go to Lisa's TV show right after our
right.
show.
Why?
Oh, let me tell you something about Zelaski. Here's what I ask. No, Lisa, let me talk. Let me talk.
And the producer's in your ear.
Yeah.
Mike will be cut off. Wow. Whole thing. Yeah.
No, that's great. They're celebrating that. And we need to support these small businesses.
Absolutely.
Especially in the downtown. And
absolutely.
Hurting a little bit. So, yeah, they do a great job. And like you said, the two things they have going for them, I say this every time they come on, is they got great food. I do like a lot of the stuff they serve. But their service is second to none.
No question. And I'm going to say this.
Pretty big issues with service.
I'm going to say this, and I don't mean this in a bad way. It ain't bar food.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I said. You know, bar food is normally whatever we think
deep
of bar food,
right.
Deep fried into everything. Yep. This is just really good restaurant type food.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's
and it goes
fantastic.
So well with the Spotted Cow.
Yeah,
so,
bet it does.
Yeah. And I think they're gonna. Maybe not everybody knows. Most people do that. They have that whole upstairs for private parties.
Yeah,
and you can see that as well.
No, I okay.
That's
where
we're probably gonna be.
I gotta tell you something. Medically, that's all bleeped up. Okay, so
does this have to do with the physical you just took?
A little bit. Maybe a little. What?
No, go ahead.
So I really devoted this month to losing weight. I even wrote every Monday I was going to do my weigh-in.
Yeah.
My weigh-in.
Yeah.
So I could, okay, I've drank, okay, 4 times for the month of January. Alcohol.
That's good for you.
That's
right?
Good. Yeah. That's great for him.
I'm doing, I told Todd.
4 times a week.
Yesterday I had an avocado and almond and raspberry shake.
Yep.
Okay. I've been eating lots of shake. Everything I buy is keto bread. One carb, I mean, vegetables, yada, yada, yada. Okay? And I've gained 6 pounds.
Yeah, you're not sticking to it.
I am too. How do you give up drinking? How do you eat all good food for you and you put on weight? I went from 216 to 222 just like that. By eating good things and no drinking. How is that humanly possible? My body doesn't work the same way as other people's bodies. My body is somewhere, there's a chromosome missing, there's something that's wedged in, there's something that happened during childbirth when they pulled me out with the tongs.
Yeah, that's
I'll admit
true.
That. My dad said they wouldn't even show me to my mom because my head was so lopsided.
Yeah. Wow.
Something happened when that happened.
I don't know if
I that's why I got one you. Eye out of whack, my whole face is out of whack. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know that that's... I think you're missing something. There's a lot of diets out there, John. The diets that are successful, and this is carte blanche, across the board, A to Z, are the ones where you write stuff down. Everything. Do you do that?
I write down in my mind.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
You it's right are here. Eating that right pizza, here in my mind.
That cheeseburger. I'm just going to grab this cookie, and you don't write it down.
I don't eat sweets. I'm going totally keto. Everything is low keto, low carb.
And what do we say about
gaining
keto?
Weight.
You get
I'm
into
gaining
that
weight.
Ketosis, and then you take one thing and you're out of it. And that's what's happening. You're just not seeing it. But that's right.
I never had a ribeye steak before.
Oh, those are good.
And I had one the other night at the Union Hotel.
Yeah, they have good steak there.
And I've only recently gotten onto having medium instead of medium well. Wow, it's so much better.
It is.
I didn't know that. Do you have Brian?
You will aggress. You'll move up to medium rare pretty soon. But okay, hey Brian.
Brian from Heights Pub and Parlor. Hey. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How's it going?
Fantastic. We can't wait to come to your place and do the show Wednesday.
Congrats. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. 1 year and it's been a ride. That's for sure.
Right.
So I'm glad you guys can come in and celebrate with us. It's going to be a good time.
All right. We just had somebody run into the studio. Said, "Hang up on him. It's time for me to talk." Hi, Ashley.
Oh, weird, hey. I wonder who that could be.
Hey, we are so excited about this, about coming down on Wednesday. And, Brian, one of the things we were talking about what your place is, yeah, it's a bar. It's a great place to go. It's like a Cheers. Go there and talk to the wonderful wait staff and everything. But your food isn't bar food.
That is a very true statement. We want to put a different spin on things so you're not getting the same as everyone else. So I'm glad you recognize that, and I think we get a lot of good feedback from customers that come in and recognize that. So, you know, the restaurant business, it's a tough business. We got through year one, so we always know we need to pivot and do things to continue to be better. So I think year two, you're going to see a lot of good things.
Outstanding. Ashley?
Yeah, hey.
Okay, that was Ashley from Heights Pub and Parlor. Thanks for joining us, Ashley.
Well, so Ashley,
we'll get back to the boss.
We'll ask you this when we're going to be live at your place on Wednesday. But biggest thing you learned this year? No more. You got rid of those garlic things that I like so much.
Have you learned that I'm a good tipper?
I have. You know,
she's heard that.
Honestly, it's just about service. You know, service with a smile. You're always, not that the customer is always right, but they are really, if you think about it. And we aim to please. So,
and you do.
And boy, if it's
great
good,
staff.
It's great. And if it's not, people tell everybody. So
yes.
Thank you for always having great
thank
service.
You.
Phenomenal food.
Make sure you stop in this week. We've got happy hour drink prices Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and half off appetizers. Hope to see ya.
Heights Pub and Parlor. Come on down on Wednesday. See
bye.
Ya.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and founder of Chip's Money Tips, Chip Chinnery, and filmmaker Nathan Demming, who is touring Wisconsin to promote his film February. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. It's going to be a rough start for financial markets because of an AI tech sell-off. ABC's Mike Dubusky says that's because tech companies like NVIDIA could be threatened by a Chinese breakthrough.
Last week, the Chinese firm DeepSeek released a new AI model called R1. It reportedly does better in testing than popular models from companies like OpenAI. That, plus a cheaper open-source model the company released in December, has prompted fears that American AI can't keep up with China on performance or price.
President Trump will address House Republicans at their retreat in Florida. His administration's ramped up immigration raids around the U.S., but is also facing scrutiny after the president fired at least 17 inspectors general and did not give the 30-day notice required by law. Rain in Southern California is reducing the fire risk, but increasing worries about mudslides, and a ceremony at Auschwitz today marking 80 years since liberation. This is ABC News.